Looks like we got most of the regulars here tonight. I say that because on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights, you see more of the irregular ones that come. Also to fill in. Glad they're not here. No, but praise the Lord for y'all that have been faithful throughout, constantly. You know, I wanted to thank the Lord for that. Thank y'all for that, for coming out. And hearing preachers that are flat, hearing preachers that are, you know, that don't always have the right message all the time, like me. And I want to thank y'all for that. It's a blessing that y'all are faithful in that. I had a couple other things I wanted to. Most of the sisters, I don't see them here, but I wanted to recognize them. And after I call your name out, if you could stand up and then so people can see you, and you can sit back down, I'd appreciate that. Chong, if you'd stand up, please. Thanks, sister. I didn't see that. Got away from me. Virginia, would you please stand up? Thank you, sister.
Stand up.
Soo-chan. Thank you, sister. And I don't see the rest of them here, but I'm going to... Who? Irma. Yes, sister. Would you please stand up? Thank you, sister. Claire Snavely, I don't see her, but... I want her to be recognized. Verlene's here. Would you stand up, Verlene? Yes.
Still here.
I won't say nothing. I might get in trouble if I say it. Love you, sister. I don't think that'll give me a trouble. I don't see Bonnie here, but I want her to be recognized too. And I think that's about my list. If I left you out, you know, you forgive me. But these sisters, the majority of these sisters, have been faithful for as many years that I've been a missionary. They've been faithful to take care of that kitchen over there and feed us. And sisters, y'all are soldiers. Y'all are soldiers. You know, I don't want to look at you as a cook or, you know, you're a soldier because you've stuck it out. And I praise the Lord for you. And I think the other missionaries do too. Because a lot of us are walking around here pretty good and hefty right now. Well, praise the Lord. And I want to thank all of y'all, and I think this is behalf of my co-laborers and other co-labor missionaries that don't work with me. A lot of y'all have been faithful and giving, and you know, we know that's a sacrifice. God reward you greatly for that. And I want to thank the Lord for that lady back there with the big brown eyes, my wife Angie. You know, she, I'm boxing. Now, Brother Linda, don't you start. Hey, man, that's what you call the virtuous woman.
Amen.
You know, virtuosa mujer fuerte, means strong woman. She's a strong woman. When I can't lift it, she can do it. No, I love her. She's been good. She's a strong woman, but always do pray for our health and health of the brethren, too. Praise the Lord. Well, let's start off with a word of prayer. Father, I do thank you for these conferences, Lord, these meetings. Lord, thank you for these people, Lord, your people. I ask you to bless them, each and every one, for the ones that are faithful and the ones that are not. Also, Lord, you draw them to be faithful, even when it's not convenient. And Lord, I just pray you'd continue to bless this conference, bless this whole meeting, bless the brethren that are traveling, and Lord, bless the preacher that'll preach at the end, if he's on his way, that you'd bring him here safely, Lord, and use him mightily for us, that you might get glory and that we might get edified. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope to exhort y'all tonight, and this exhortation, there's Clara. Praise the Lord, sister. We love you, sister. Clara and Neil, faithful brethren. Acts 14, if you would, Acts chapter 14. I just want to speak a little bit on Christians and the walk we have to take. Part of that walk is the suffering life, a suffering life. You know, I can't really say I've suffered a whole bunch. Not even on the mission field. I can't say I've been stoned. I've been yelled at, maybe cussed at, called loco, and that's probably from a judgmental appearance of what the way I preach out in the street. Who knows? I probably deserved it. I haven't really been persecuted and really suffered a great deal. And even in life, just regular life like you, brother, you know, we haven't really suffered. You know, like these men of God in past, we haven't suffered, you know. But we do go through sufferings. We do have sufferings. And I think about Paul here in Acts 14, his example, how he's, it says here in verse 19, "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, threw him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." You know, this is a man that was just stoned. He was stoned, and they thought he probably faked that he was dead, and they threw him out. I don't know, I say that lightly. He probably was pretty close to being dead. But they threw him out, and then he got up. He was healthy enough. God lifted him up, and he got up, and he went on to another city, and he preached the gospel again. I mean, that shows one thing. It shows character of faith. It shows a man that believed the promises of God, believed in his God. He had these things in him, and he was a man that stepped up in faith and went to another town and preached, even though he was stoned half to death, and did that. And then he comes back to that town to what? To exhort the brethren to continue in the faith, and that much tribulation we shall enter the kingdom of heaven. You know, brothers, this is part of the Christian life. You know, I think that's why the house of God ain't always full. That's why you don't have more preachers out preaching. That's why you don't have more dedicated Christians in every aspect. Why? Because they don't like to suffer. They don't like the tribulation. They like the comfort, the ease. You know, it's probably for some of y'all here. I think for some of y'all, it's a joy to come and hear the word here and see what's going on. See if you can get a blessing. But for some of you, you know, this is an experience of you know, it's a trial. It's trivial. But you know what you're doing? You're stepping against your flesh and what's convenient for your flesh. And that there itself shows that you have faith. That there is going to bless you. Much tribulation we shall enter into the kingdom of God. Much tribulation. Like I said a while ago, I don't think any of us are really going through really big hardships or tribulations. But we do. We do have them. Look in Philippians 1:29. And I want to speak this to all of us, of course, but to the new Christians that might be here. God didn't promise us, you know, nothing real, nothing perfect, nothing like they use the phrase, a bed of roses. He didn't promise us a good time all the time. You know, there's times where we get rich blessings, good blessings, peace in our heart, and there's other times we have trials and tribulations. We have car wrecks, we have blowouts. You know, this is all of us. You know, we have trouble at work. You have trouble at work. We have trouble with our co-laborers. You know, we have learned this long-suffering. We want to be mature enough to take a little bit of affliction, take a little bit of rebuke, take a little bit of correction from our brother. We need to grow up in these areas. And you do too when it comes to your workplace and your everyday life. You need to understand that much tribulation, you're going to enter the kingdom of God. Christian, just like you want the blessings, just like you want the joy and the good times, you ought to be able to say, okay, thank you, Lord, for that tribulation. Now, I know it's not easy. It's easier to preach than when you're there, you know, and it comes. But brothers, you know, we need to grow up and be soldiers, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. But some of you, brethren, are growing in the Lord, and are just starting in the Lord. Look what it says in Philippians 1:29. "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake." Suffer for His sake. Not only is it just to believe on Him. You know, I think we want these converts that are just, you know, converts and come over and just flip them over kind of out of the pan and say, "You're saved now." But we don't teach them that they need to go through tough times. We need to teach them that. Not to discourage them, but we need to teach them that they're going to have to go through tough times. Because when the tough time comes, and if we don't teach them this, they're not going to stick. They're not going to last. But he says not only to believe And for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Suffer for his sake. And I was thinking about a few things about how we suffer. You know, we really don't suffer like the old men of God. We really don't. We got a good look, brother. I got a new pair of shoes too. You know? I do got a new pair of shoes. You know, some of these men, they didn't have things, these things that we get these days. We really aren't suffering. And we ought to count our blessings. You know, I'm not saying, Lord, give us tough times, give us suffering, and take my shoes off. I'm not saying none of this stuff. I'm saying we're blessed people. But we ought to learn to understand that when suffering comes, we need to accept it and not cry, not give up, and so forth. You, young Christian, you have to go through some sufferings, if not many, like it says. Much tribulation. I thought about a suffering. A lot of us are proud. A lot of us haven't been, we probably won't be humble until the day we see the Lord face to face. I mean, the most humblest one here is still has pride in his life. That's all of us. You know what? God, like it's been said many times, we see in his word, God resists the proud. He resists the proud. And so what? In other words, brother, what I want to get at is you and I need to continue to be broken. I don't know how God's going to break you. Might be in that marriage. Might be in that new marriage. I don't know. It might be through the preaching of God's word. You know, I remember my experience through God's preaching. It's one way God broke me. And I say that with a lot of praise to the Lord and thankfulness for God's men. Yeah. I tell you, I was hurt quite a bit around here. Hurt, but not for a bad sake, but for a good sake. For good sake. I used to go home and cry sometimes. Have you had preaching that made you cry? I mean, cause some truth came to you and wanted to change your life, correct you, and you knew it. And all you could do is say, it's true. Woohoo! I remember one time I came in here. I used to drive a truck. And I came in here because I was full of sin. I mean, and I loved the Lord, but I was full of temptation and falling and whatever. And I'd come in here wanting to serve God. And I'd shake like a leaf because of the guilt that I had. I was young. I was young in the Lord. And I come in here and I bawled my tears out in the middle of the group one night. Most of y'all don't know this. I'm telling you now. But you know what? Brother Brett stood up. He's the one who led me to the Lord, me and my wife. And he stood up as a good father of the Lord, and spiritually speaking, in the sense of a man being used here on earth. He spoke, he says, hey, same afflictions you're going through, I am too. Quit your crying. Wipe your tears. No, I'm not saying we can't cry, brethren. You understand what I'm saying? Let's grow up and understand that we're going to be afflicted. We're going to be afflicted by our own flesh. That was my problem back then. I was having tribulation with my flesh. And I still do. And you do too. Much tribulation we shall enter into the kingdom of God. Not only to believe on him, but to suffer for his sake. That's also to suffer against sin. You know, we always preach against these sins and that sin and the other sin. And we ought to. But you know what? In our hearts, a lot of that lies still. If not the act, the thought. And what I'm saying, brethren, is that we need to understand that we need to be humbled from our ways. We need to understand that our sin is, well, it's repulsive to God. And so what? We need to understand that we need to suffer against sin. I was going to say this. I was going to say that a lot of times sin is alluring. It's attractive. Yeah, it's attractive. You know, there's been times that, well, it hadn't happened recently. But me and my wife, in a lonely time, I say lonely time, in a time alone, and we want to do something, we want to celebrate, we say, what about a drink? You know? And I say that, you know, we do have a freedom. I'm not going to get into all this, but we've done it one time, I remember, and I said, we ain't going to do this again. It's like we just contaminated the Lord, you know. Now, some other sins, it's not that easy to say no against. But you know, we need to learn to say no to sin. We need to learn to suffer against the temptations of the sin, of our flesh, our fleshly desires. We need to grow up and say no. I mean, not just say it, but say, this is part of my suffering. It's part of my suffering. Not always easy, brother. But we need to remember, much tribulation, we shall enter the kingdom of God. Our flesh deceives us. Our flesh deceives us. Our own hearts deceive us. You know, one day it's all going to be over. One day it's all going to be over. You know, your flesh says, man, this sin or that sin. Hey, man, that's the way to go. You young people, this sin or that sin. Do it, man. Your folks have been through it or whatever excuse the devil or your flesh might give you. I don't know. But you know what? It's deceiving. It's deceiving. The sin is for a season. It's temporal. Man, we got something greater waiting for us in glory. Greater. And I always like this example. I don't know if I heard it from somebody else, but it's always been on my heart that, you know, the greatest thing that you can fulfill in a fleshly sin that might bring ecstasy to you and your mind and your fantasy or whatever it might be, I tell you, don't compare to what the Lord has prepared for us. And too often we yield to temptation. Disciples, well, the Lord, or was it a prayer that says, lead me not into temptation? You know, we ought to pray more in that area. Lead me not into temptation. We will be tempted, but Lord help us. Another way we suffer is loved ones. Loved ones. I say that. We love them, and they love us. Many, you know, it's just a natural thing. But there's things that come in between one man, a man, you as a Christian, between you and your loved ones, especially when you take a stand for God. Many of you all know that now. And you're going to suffer accusations. You're going to suffer that, hey, man, you're in a cult. Hey, man, you're wrong. Or you know, man, come back to the religion. You're going to suffer that. You're going to see that they're going to just put it in your face. Hey, grow up. Let's grow up. We need to accept that not everybody's going to accept our gospel. Paul was stoned for it. I mean, Joe over there in Poland just got beat up by some big old woman. And he probably could have manhandled because Joe ain't no slouch. I mean, he's small, short, whatever. But that guy, he's athletic. But anyway, Joe, it wasn't on Joe's mind. He took the punishment. Suffering. Loved ones. I think about many. Yeah, down here in Mexico, we run into various women, especially. It happens to men, too. You know, the men, one of them gets saved, or maybe both of them get saved, and one becomes unfaithful to God's work, and it puts a burden on the other one. The other one that wants to serve the Lord, you know, or sometimes one will get saved and one is not saved, you know, and that's tough times. Sometimes you have people, even in this church, that are brought down by their loved ones. The husband wants to get backslidden and the wife stays faithful or vice versa. It happens down there in Mexico. It happens right here. And it puts a burden on that Christian. I sympathize with you. I know if my wife decided to get backslidden, it'd be hard for me to keep on going. I'm not as spiritual as you. I'm sorry. I don't say I couldn't, but I'm just saying it wouldn't be easy. Some men have suffered, right, Bill? Lose a wife, still goes back to the field. Lord provides and blesses. Suffering. We know what you go through. We know what you go through in your suffering, brother, sister. You that your spouse will not serve the Lord. But you know what? Much tribulation, you shall enter the kingdom of heaven. You just keep on keeping on. You just keep on keeping on because your reward is great. Your reward is great. Suffering Christians. That is part, we ought to, I guess you could call it an attribute of a Christian. A good Christian is he knows how to suffer, or he's learning how to suffer. He's applying it to his life. I mean, it's not just looking for the good things in the Christian walk. And boy, that's what I look for. I don't want to paint some picture out that's not there. But, you know, I want to, and I want you to be a Christian that learns how to suffer. It's part of your life. Jesus, the Bible says it, and it's God's word. We get persecuted for the Lord. We get persecuted. You know, we have, really, what's a guayaba? What's a couple of guayabas compared to some bricks and rocks being stolen? I remember here in San Antonio when I was preaching down there in the streets of San Antonio, I remember I was going away and I was after it and all of a sudden, phew, I get a cold beer in my face. You almost want to go like that, you know. I'm saying not because of the beer, but it's cold and bloody. What I'm trying to say is that's nothing. A beer in the face. Hey, man, it was a hot day. It was a hot day. Maybe the devil wasn't working on my mind because it was beer. I don't know, but it felt good. We don't suffer, do we? A wayaba? Hey, man, grab that thing and put it in your pocket for later, you know. No, brothers, we're not really suffering, but we need to learn to suffer. What if times get worse? What if the Y2K kicks in and things get worse? I don't know. Illnesses. Christians go through illnesses, and they keep on keeping on for the Lord. Think of the Shriners, how faithful they've been all their lives. Even though they were sick, they'd come and make it. The Hodgkinsons, they come on Sundays. As far as I know, for Sundays, I believe they've been faithful. And I know they can't always make it, you know, because of their health. But you know what? They are suffering their tribulation. Brothers, we need to suffer. We need to learn to suffer. Romans 8. You know, it's not just a matter of just learning to suffer. There's a big blessing. Now, when we suffer for our foolishness, when we suffer for our folly, you know, that's something else. We need that, you know. We need that chastening. We need that. It's deserving. We need that. Romans 8 gives us a promise here in verse 16. It says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs with God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Brother, I don't know. I've read this verse often, and I sometimes say, well, it's no big deal. Let the Lord be glorified. You know? And yes, let the Lord be glorified. The Lord Jesus Christ. Let Him be glorified. And He will be glorified. But you know, brothers, we can be there with Him. We can be there with Him. It says there, joint heirs with Him. It says, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. You know, I don't know if I got the fullness of this verse. But you know what? Just like I was telling you a little while ago about what waits for us in heaven compared to the biggest fulfillment that you can have here in your flesh, here in this world. It's the same thing. I don't want to say later, I missed that glorification. Brothers, we need to pray for one another that we finish this race. And we ain't too far away from it. Some of us are closer than others, but you know what? We're not too far from it. I've been saved by the grace of God. Well, it'll be 17 years this November. And it's gone like that. I mean like that. Some of you y'all can say the same thing with how many years you got in the Lord. You can say, man, it's gone like that. Yeah, it's been tough times. There's been a lot of suffering. There's been a lot of failures. There's been a lot of blessings and so forth. But by God's grace, here we are. And before you know it, it's going to be over. It's going to be over. And you know what? Glorification time is coming. I don't know if I have it well pictured or really down deep in my heart like it should be. But brothers, I want to continue on the race, and I want you to continue on the race. And let's pray for one another that we continue this race. Not be discouraged when some fall away, because that does discourage. We've had the church here in Morelia. We see numbers, all some broom. And then numbers, and boy, you know, that's discouraging. But that's part of our suffering. God's working on us. God's working on us. Well, let me finish with this one verse in Mark 8. This is one of my favorite verses when it comes to mission conference. I think I used it last year. Also, Mark 8, and it says in verse 35, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. I don't know how we can really apply that directly to a Christian, but I think there's some teaching there for us as Christians. But what about you? You that aren't saved yet. You that don't, maybe you don't understand what it is to lose your life for the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel. Maybe you don't understand. I don't know. Maybe you're indifferent to the matter. Maybe you still love this world and what this world offers. I don't know. I don't know where you're at. You that are not saved. Let me tell you one thing. You're born a sinner like all of us. You're born a sinner and you need to deal with that matter. You do wrong, God sees it. You and I, as sinners, we're no good. We're no good for nothing. And you need to recognize that. You need to quit comparing yourself with someone else and say, well, you know, the prostitute, she deserves hell. The guy that robbed me the other day, he deserves hell. I don't know what you want to do in comparisons, but you need to realize that you're the same type of person. When I say maybe not outwardly, but inwardly, you are no good. You say, well, why do you want to offend? I'm just telling you the truth. We're no good. The Bible says it. There's none good, no, not one. None. You need to recognize you're no good, and you're not going to get to heaven by being good because you're no good. You need to, like I was talking to these Christians, you need to lose your life for the Lord Jesus. You need to see this life as temporal, as it's going to last a little while, and it's going to be over. And then where are you going to be? Where are you going to spend eternity? Where are you going to spend eternity? Let me tell you, he says here, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. You want to keep it for yourself? You're going to lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the Gospels, the same shall save it. Man, don't believe the world. Don't believe the world. All the world says, no, live it up. Enjoy life. The world says, just forget it. There's no God. I don't know what you might be leaning on in beliefs of what this world has given you. But let me tell you, you are a sinner just like every one of us. And we are not good. And we need, I say that, us that have been already, and you that haven't been saved, you need to be saved. You need to get that debt off of you. And only the Lord Jesus Christ has paid that price. I myself have tried to be a good boy. You know what? I can't. Oh, I try, and I try to better myself, and God's given me more and more progression in His way, His thinking, His heart, His spirit. He's given me this, and He's given me some more victory over my wicked flesh. You know what? But you know what? Even like that, I still have a wicked flesh, just like you. But you know what? I have something different. Christ liveth in me. The Lord Jesus Christ. Like this, like suffer, learn to suffer and keep on, finish the course, finish this fight, keep on the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. Brother, we don't have time to look back. And if we ever do, let's turn back around and look forward. You that aren't saved, look to Jesus. Look to what He's done for you. It's your only hope. It's your only hope. He paid it all. He bore your sins. He's buried and He resurrected to justify. Would you trust Him? I'm going to give a chance for somebody else to bring you the word.